Okay, we're on.
So you have issues too.
Being recorded. Whenever you're ready.
Well, Eric came up to me yesterday and asked me if I wanted to start a song in the class. And I said I would. And then the Lord began to speak to me and have me write words and gave me permission to go find them into song form. So I literally learned this song like an hour ago.
Act upon that thought that instead of, unless you don't respond to what I'm going to ask you, if there's anybody that had any questions, anything that you, something that's just burning on your heart, a scripture or anything that you'd like to ask and we can talk about in our class. So this is a good opportunity. It's a small group. We've all been together for all week, and so you're among friends. It might be a question that you might have been fearful to ask maybe in times past.
You know, I feel like there are...
You're going to have to speak up.
There are other groups inside of our church that are actively engaged in serving our Lord. Like you talked about...
There's not a person in here that doesn't have an outside voice. Come on.
My regular voice is
tough. Trying to get away from using the microphone today.
Okay. I feel like like we said in last class that speedily, when that time comes for Zion to be built, we will come together. Not just us come together, but others come together with us, other faiths. And I feel like maybe the brass plates and the gold plates and the archaeology proves, and different, even other countries where Christ visited, I'm sure there's other tablets that might come as proofs for their culture, that we will be able to come together. You know, part of me says it's not good for all the people to come in from out of our borders, but part of me says, yes, it is. This is the time for the gathering. This is the time for us to bring in God's people. Not only are the Israelite people from Israel God's people, but the Native Americans and the South Americans, Central Americans, those too are God's people. And what is this for us to say we're not to cultivate and witness to them too?
Okay. So can you condense your question?
The question is, do you too believe? Can you see the hand of God working in other congregation, other churches? I do. I see it in the alliance in our community of churches, of them coming together and trying to reach out in the community their faith, and to reach out just to share Christ. And I'm excited about that it's not just us crying in the wilderness, but there's others who are also of like faith that are Christ's servants.
Now, I do believe that it won't be just those of the restoration that will be here. I've had experiences, and Jim and I were talking about this the other day. I've had experiences where this is not going to be just JCRB or Conference of Restoration Elders. It's going to be all across the spectrum as far as the restoration is concerned, that we're all going to come together one of these days when the Lord sees fit. And the Lord's going to draw from these different groups, the priesthood, that have sought to prepare themselves, who have loved him and have sought to serve him to the very best of their abilities, and that will be his army, that he is already gathering his army together. And so, I believe it's not only going to be the restoration people, but there's going to be others.
I can speak up loud enough. You're coming my way.
I'm coming your way.
I can speak up without that.
I'm getting on record.
You're recording it. No. Well, I'd like to make a point very clear. I personally believe God is working outside of the restoration. However, there's a however there. There is one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. And if there's nothing that's changed from the Grove experience, and the Lord didn't speak against individuals, he spoke against the religions. When he said that their doctrines were an abomination, they drew near to me with their mouth, but their hearts were far from me. But I believe there are many wonderful Christians, and many of them are doing more than people in the restoration. That's not the issue. God restored his church, and he restored a divine intercessory priesthood that allows men's sins to be remitted. That's different than being forgiven. It's far different. Remission of sin is what puts you under the covenant so that the mercy of Jesus can appeal the demands of justice. And in spite of all of our failings in the restoration, those who remain faithful, those who will be endowed with powers from on high, those honest in heart who have not embraced the restoration will have to come in at the gate. They will have to have authoritative baptisms. Otherwise, the restoration is just a scam. There was no need for it. So the judgment is not against good people who believe in Jesus, but Jesus has a plan, and Jesus has a church, and I think the day is going to come when we're going to get away from the idea of organization. And I'm not saying organization has been necessarily wrong, but I think what God is ultimately going to move his people towards is a living organism that is really the body of Christ. And for that to happen, this nation has to be humbled. It has to be cleansed. And all the wickedness has to be wiped off this land. Of all the nations on the earth, when the judgments, and I believe judgments are starting, but when the judgments are really poured out, it's Joseph's land that is going to be severely judged because of the knowledge that we've had. And not just the knowledge of the restoration. This nation was founded on Christian principles, and we are abandoning all of them in our society, just totally abandoning them. There is a price to pay, but God is going to preserve and spare his people. But also you will see, as the Lord gathers the righteous, the great whore will regather her daughters. They will return to the great whore of the earth. And that's, if you're paying attention at all to what's going on in Rome, you can see the beginnings of all that. It started in the 1960s with Vatican II and the ecumenical movement. And that movement has infiltrated, it infiltrated the reorganization. That's why we're sitting here today. Because those powers of darkness with ecumenism and the National World Council of Churches and all this, you know, liberation theology, a social gospel, Jesus was a revolutionary, all these bizarre things that people have bought into. But we have to remain true to the angel message. That's our calling. That's what God's asked us to do. And we'll let God worry about all the rest of the stuff and how he's going to work it all out. We have to remain faithful to the covenant that we've made. We have to remain faithful to the witness he's given us to do his work in the last days, the Book of Mormon. And we have to remain faithful to the priesthood authority he's given us that we can accomplish the things that he's called us to do.
Ruth Ann?
Sorry.
Well, I realize that, or I'm, you know, there's a sense of fear, if you will, for us to go out and tell the world and preach the gospel, because I have heard it said, let's put it that way, that of what we might be bringing in. And having worked with those people in their country, they are far more conservative than we are here in this country culturally. I mean, we have done this to ourselves. It's not because we've brought them in necessarily. Does that happen? Yes. But we have changed culturally as a nation. We have been the ones who have voted and done the things that we've done. We are ripe in iniquity, as they say. And so, but all the things, the homosexuality, and you know, I don't need to go into all of what we have now accepted. That's still not accepted in a lot of other nations. So I think we need to just do what we're commanded to do and bring others into the fold.
Betty?
We hear this ripe in iniquity a lot. I don't know if you're aware. I can't pull it up to look it up for you right at the moment. I can look it up later, but there is a scripture in the Book of Mormon which really defines that, and that is when they cast out the righteous from among them. Even though many of our beliefs and the standards on which the country were built on are being attacked in the well-known fronts on the media where we hear about it all the time. We need to remember, like Paul Harvey says, that, you know, 99% of the policemen out there are good men. 99% of Americans don't go out and shoot everybody in the school or, you know, a whole bunch of people just because they're angry. And we hear these things happening and we think, oh my goodness, it's just so bad, it's so bad, it's so bad. And that is, in my opinion, an attempt of the adversary to distract us from the truth. Because there are still righteous people in this country. I hope. I plan to be one, if I'm not right now. As long as the righteous are permitted existence in this country, the country is not ripe for or not ripe for destruction. We are ripening as a society, it would appear. But we need to remember that the onslaught of media is not the whole story, and that God is working. There are millions of very active, believing Christians of whom we are a part. So those of us who are in that position need to stand up in our place and continue to fight for what's right in our areas where we are, for and striving to be closer to the Lord. And until the day comes where they're lining us up and shooting us, then this nation is not going to be swept. The Book of Mormon does say, however, that those who individuals who ripen in iniquity, if they are not serving the God of the land, they will be swept off the land. It doesn't say that everybody is going to get swept off. We need to keep things in perspective. And that particular insight for me is very helpful in understanding where we truly are in this country. You know, we believe that Zion is going to be built. We believe that we're going to establish this kingdom. We believe that that's going to happen, and we need to keep our eye on that, because that's what's going to happen. And not even though there's going to be those parts of the country where devastating things are going to happen. That's where our eyes need to be.
Helaman 5:18.
Is that where
it is? Helaman 5:18.
You want to repeat that in the microphone?
Helaman 5:18.
Joyce?
Isn't there a scripture somewhere that says those who are to come to this land will be led by God? Where is that?
Jim? It's in the Book of Mormon.
You might as well stay there.
I think, I'm working on something. I believe that that's true. Nobody comes to this land unless they are brought by God. But God can have a dual purpose, and I believe he does. And I believe he allows people to come here to be part of a judgment process. You know, the Lamanites are going to go through and tread down the Gentile nation as a lion. So that's something that is before us. But I think the thing that you know, I'm in agreement with Betty that we need to keep our eyes on the kingdom. We need to do what we're supposed to do. The promise is God's going to preserve his people. But God has to prepare a place for his kingdom. And he will have to move things off the land for that to take place. I think of Washington's dream, that third peril, I believe that's a prophetic experience. Well, Washington had a vision at Valley Forge where an angel came to him, if you haven't ever read it. And there were three perils, and the first peril was the one that he was involved in. And the second peril was the nation would be divided against itself, and that was the Civil War. And there was a third peril, and it would involve a dark cloud that would come from the Asian, or Europe and Asia, and would come to America. There would be invasions. The Book of Mormon is very clear about cities being burned, and Washington saw that. He saw that the cities that had been raised up in this nation, they would all be burned. But that in the end, he said that the union would hang by a thread. And then he saw bright lights coming down, and the union was spared. Sister Buffington, the Songs of Zion, she has a song that she received. It's called From Steeple to Steeple. And in the refrain, it actually says that we knew we had won when the angels came down. I think that's what Washington saw. He didn't know how to describe it. We believe in the angel message. And I believe it's going to be angelic ministration that will ultimately save this nation to fulfill its divine destiny. This is the wilderness. And the pilgrims, when they came, and men like Cotton Mather's and Bradford, they believed this was the last wilderness with a hope to build a city upon a hill. Isn't that an interesting understanding? Boy, they would have been good restorationists. And I believe that. I believe in the destiny of that promise. I believe in the destiny of this nation. Doctrine and Covenant says that the Lord raised up the wise men that wrote the Constitution. So that there would be a culture that would allow the gospel to come out of the wilderness and be established, and ultimately for Zion to be established. I don't believe there's any other place in the world where that could have happened, but on this land, Joseph's land. And so there is the victory is sure, but there's going to be some things that happen before that victory is finalized, and the kingdom is actually built, and the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And I think we have to realize that there is a struggle before us, but we have to keep our eye on the mark, on Christ, on the work that he's called us to in the last days, to be faithful, to try and be as righteous as a people as we can, individually and collectively, to do those things that would have Zionic principles built in our hearts and our lives. You know, there was a mention of the golden ear in the Book of Mormon. You notice nowhere in there that was referred to as Zion. And the reason is because of the promise that I read this morning. If we went on, the promise of Zion is reserved for the last days. They had Zionic conditions, but it wasn't actually Zion, because if it had, Enoch City would have returned to them. That's been reserved for the dispensation of the fullness of times, and that's going to happen. And if when we have a people like the third Nephi people, then Enoch Zion will return to the earth. That's what we're looking and anticipating.
And Christ is king,
because
he didn't reign there to
the kingdom. Yes,
But it's my understanding they did have the kingdom, because when he taught them how to pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come" was not in there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It, it is.
It is?
Yes, absolutely.
I'll have to double check, but Wayne, I was sure there was a prayer in there where it said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and then it went on, "After thy kingdom come."
The Lord's prayer is there. It's exactly as it reads in the King James in the Matthew account.
I'll be checking that. Because I studied it and I found a place where it was on my map.
They had to have the kingdom. They had Christ. No, he's the kingdom of heaven. And when they were keeping the law that he gave, then they were in the kingdom.
But that's why it didn't say thy kingdom.
Oh.
I'll have to go get my Bible because I know
what's on my pages. You know how that works.
Okay.
My Bible. As the brother brought up about our founding father, first president, George Washington, I read that vision that he had, and in the harbinger that the Lord's blessed me to come to knowledge about, it speaks about George Washington led his group of founding fathers after he was inaugurated president down to a church in New York City. Washington, D.C. didn't exist at the time, back in those days. It was in New York. And this church still stands, and after 9/11, that church was spared, and it was very many people gathered to that church for refuge as the tower fell. And the harbinger brings about that America's lining up with destruction, ultimately of God, total annihilation of us as American people if we do not repent. The early Israelites were warned, warned, warned. They just did what they wanted to do, and they were ultimately erased from the pages of history. And as I read the Harbinger, one of the first books I've read from cover to cover, I just could not put it down. And I buy them 10 at a time to pass out to those that would be interested in it. As a voice of warning, since 9/11, every 7 years, something's happened to us economically, the stock market or on the foreign exchange. And this September coming up is the end of 7 years. And September 11th was when the tower came down. And we were struck back in that time at our financial realm of the United States. It's the towers. It's the freight centers. I know Zion's coming. We just got to have faith. But it behooves us to study and read and be prepared and read the scriptures. And this is a Jewish rabbi that wrote the Harbinger, that brought all this to knowledge, the Lord's working amongst him. And he says in his book, he didn't intend to write the book. People told me, you need to put this in print about what the Lord's made known to you from the study from Isaiah. Thank you.
Jamie?
I don't know if this is a question to you or not, but
question to the group.
Some of the things that I've kind of experienced is too long of doom and gloom. I mean, we're all guilty of it. And we've been looking at this, I feel, in the wrong light. We're supposed to be looking at Christ. We should be rejoicing in this whole thing, because he says he'll preserve his people. And we have something to look forward to, and not all people do. But this lion thing, it's really been... I think there's a dual thing there. I read an article not too long ago that lions are about the only animal that runs through and devours at random, and for pleasure, just for pleasure. But Ron Smith was putting out has this thing on fractals that he just did. Anyway, in the process of that, he was talking about the lion. And the lion, besides, I really believe, you know, because it does say the Lamanites will come through like a lion. But that lion also is one other thing. And it's the priesthood. It's the priesthood going out during the endowment and bringing the people in. So we need to look at the life. We need to look at the purpose that what we're here for is the way I've been seeing it. Why am I afraid? I don't need to be afraid. Not if I'm with God. Not if I'm with what the kingdom, which is what we're trying to reach. And I just wanted to share that, you know, I've been, instead of the doom and gloom, I am excited about this time. I want to see all this. I mean, I don't want to see it, but I want to see all this come so that God's glory will come and that kingdom on earth will the Zion will be here. So I just wanted to share that. That's not really a question. But.
So it's not in here. That kingdom of heaven's not in here. It's in the kingdom. That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is that during this golden age, in 3 Nephi 6:102, it says, "Our kingdom, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The next verse says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the phrase that was left out was, "Thy kingdom come." And my thought on that is that, however they did not have Zion, they were experiencing the kingdom with Christ. And that's why when they prayed, they didn't say, "Thy kingdom come." They were experiencing kingdom, and
what,
that was...
What happened when Christ left? Because he wasn't there, but it was a short time.
Well, obviously, after a time, they just did like we did. And I'm sure if we spent a couple of years with Christ, we would probably do the same thing, because we're carnal men. And when we're not in the kingdom, we revert back to our carnal people. But they weren't asking for the kingdom here to come, because they were having kingdom experiences with Christ then, and that's why it's not in this Book of Mormon.
Where were you reading?
It's 3 Nephi 6. Oh, 5. It's 3 Nephi 5. 3 Nephi 5 starts at verse 102. Yes.
You said give it to Betty.
Something I wanted to point out about the righteousness and the wicked that maybe could expand a little bit. You know, there's a principle in the scriptures that whenever that the righteous preserve the wicked, because and that's what I was trying to get at. But when the time comes that the wicked can't be destroyed or can't be protected anymore, it's not enough to just have the righteous there. In other words, when they're ripe in iniquity and they're casting the righteous out, then there's an ark of safety. For Lot, it was an angel came, and I mean, he was kind of hanging back, but the time came, he said, "We go now." You know? For Noah, it was the actual ark. For us, it's Zion. That is the ark of safety, where the Lord will bring those he has to gather out of the ripe in iniquity when the time comes. But that's not the how the city's going to be established. You know, it's the righteousness of people, our willingness to let the gospel go forth into all the world and to call on the Lord for... I'm going to need my class here. but it might not come up. We may not have time. I was reading 65 this morning. I was reading it, and it struck me different than...
Is that section 65?
Section 65. Listen to this. It tells us what to do, and I didn't catch that before. It says, "The keys of the kingdom of God are committed to men on the earth. And from thence..." From what? Not the earth. From the keys, right? "From the keys, the gospel shall roll forth unto the ends of the earth, as a stone which is cut out of a mountain without hands shall roll forth, until it has filled the whole earth. Yea..." Okay, now this is the gospel. "A voice crying, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the supper of the Lamb. Make ready for the bridegroom." That's our job. We're the voice that goes out. Now, how do we do that? "Pray unto the Lord. Call upon his name, holy name. Make known his wonderful works among the people. Call upon the Lord that..." Now, there's a little bit of a list here. First of all, that his kingdom may go forth upon the earth, that the inhabitants thereof may receive it, and be prepared for the days which are to come, in the which the Son of Man shall come down in heaven, clothed in the brightness of his glory, to meet the kingdom of God which is set up on earth. Wherefore, may the kingdom of God go forth, one set up on earth, that the kingdom of heaven, which is Christ, may come, that thou, O God, may be glorified in heaven, so on earth, that thy enemies may be subdued, for thine is the honor, power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. We've been talking about praying more for the kingdom, and there's the direction that we need.
That's actually a revelation on prayer. It's really a great revelation because it really shows us what the focus of our prayers are. We're out of balance, and what I mean by that is we pray too much about our own personal needs, and there's a place for that. But we're not praying for the greater needs, and this is a revelation that really shows us the kinds of things we need to be praying about as a people, that actually might happen. And that's why the Lord gave that. It's called a revelation on prayer.
What are the keys?
That's just a word for authority, the ability to do something. A key unlocks a door. That's all the keys are. Joseph received keys from Christ, Elijah, Moses, and Elias. All those were keys for certain ministries to now be able to happen. That's just a word that we can relate to because people know what a key does. It unlocks something. So the keys of a particular authority allows whatever that key represents to actually happen. The key that Moses gave Joseph dealt with the gathering of the tribes of Israel, so that could actually happen now in this dispensation. So there's an authority under which that will transpire.
Well, the key of the kingdom is the gospel. And the keys are the authority to take the gospel forth into the earth. So the kingdom is the gospel.
Anybody else? Why don't we take... We got about 5 minutes left. Why don't we take 5 minutes and anybody that would like to offer a prayer for the kingdom, for the days that are ahead of us, why don't we do so?
I'd like to.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the gospel that you have given us. We are grateful for the Book of Mormon, the Bible, that these two sticks are representative of the knowledge we have been given. We pray that we wisely study and be able to share that which we learn, place upon our hearts, to all those that you would open the doors for us to share with. We know that this is not an easy task, but we also know that you have girded us up this week. You have strengthened us, helped build us as for this time. And it was difficult to come together this week. We are so grateful, Lord, that you made it possible, that you didn't give up on us, and that we had this opportunity to come together and to share and enlighten and strengthen and encourage each other to do the work of the kingdom. Pray for the priesthood. These keys open the doors, that they be willing to serve at their utmost abilities. Strengthen their families, that they be able to go out with faithfulness, and that their families be protected as they are away and in thy service. Let us grow as a group. Let our congregations grow. Help us to go forth in this day and time. We're grateful to have the opportunity to be born and be in a time such as this. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I just want everyone to be aware that my granddaughter and my daughter took the children and went to the doctor. There is the flu bug, and so my granddaughter's getting very sick. If you all would remember them, that's Candace, Cardi, and the children. Dayton, who's 5, Corbin, who is 3, and Nadia is here on the grounds in class, and she was fine this morning, but if you see anything, will you let me know?
Brother Steve, would you offer a prayer for that, please?
Sure.
Almighty and eternal Heavenly Father, we ask humbly that as these children are precious in your sight, that you would bless and help them, they would overcome their illness, and that you would prepare the way for their healing and their recovery. And we ask these things humbly in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Jamie, would you offer a closing prayer for our class?
Dear Heavenly Father, come to you this day with praise in our hearts and adoration towards you, knowing fully that it is only through you that we can do anything. Father, I ask that you would be with each one of us, that we would look forward to the kingdom, and that we would be vessels in building that kingdom, and that we would have the desire to see that light, that glory that only comes through you, that we would be one with one another, that it would surely be a beautiful sight for us and for those that would come into your presence and be with you, that we may assist them and be with them and praise your name always. And I would again, Father, pray for each one of us that we would do the work that you want us to do in your name. These things I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.